You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:59. And coming up at 10:15, Flashpoints features more on the Republican National Convention with journalist Zach Roberts, Sherry Honkala of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union, Russell Mokaber from Corporate Crime Reporter, and Carl Dix from the Revolutionary Communist Party USA. And at 11, Stage and Studio features Oregon Shakespeare Festival's production of Roe and Salem's Enlightened Theatrics' diverse production of The Wizard of Oz. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews sculptor J.D. Perkin about his show at the Laura Russo Gallery and his new foray into collage. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of One Flaming Arrow Intertribal Film Festival 2016, bringing Native American and Indigenous independent film to Portland, Oregon, July 28th through the 31st. Opening night at Clinton Street Theater with showings through the weekend at Hollywood Theater and Rainmaker Gallery. Please consider supporting independent media. More information can be found at oneflamingarrow.com.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 19th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Be sure to check out the fabulous new KBOO website. There's so much going on, and look for the hairy blue van that is trolling the streets of Portland looking for listeners. How do you tell a listener? That's a very good question. And a lot of people right now across the country, not just here in Portland, are asking themselves that question. You wouldn't think it, but there's a lot happening that is far more important and will have, results that last far longer than those produced by this convention. First up, Cascadia weather today, it could be almost identical with the weather that we've seen for the last week or so. Nonetheless, here it comes. There's a slight chance of a bit of a drizzle. Mostly cloudy because obviously clouds needed for drizzle production. Highs around 75, not much in the way of wind. And for tonight, same thing, lows around 57. I can't believe I'm saying it. Here's the weather from Groundhog's Day. And tomorrow, cloudy and gradually clearing. Highs turning out to be 79 after all. And for tomorrow night, a clear sky, lows around 56. Northwest winds 7 miles per hour. We are getting an update today from Jody McCaffrey, the unstoppable Jody McCaffrey in Coos Bay on the Jordan Cove project, which it seems that given the surrounding and convergent events in the world, that it would not be reasonable right now to continue with the project. Nonetheless, they're steaming ahead as though yesterday never happened, and tomorrow we'll never get there. So there is an important meeting coming up. There is a hearing that had been scheduled in Coos County, yes, I believe to yesterday, but there have been some time changes, and that in and of itself may be of some significance. Pretty much everything is with the Jordan Cove project. It's convoluted, it's complicated, and a lot is hidden behind all of these maneuvers. So, good morning, Jody. Thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Yes, thanks for having me and bringing this issue out to the forefront.
I really don't think people understand how important this is. This is right now, listeners, the only LNG type thing on the coast. All right. Yes, in Vancouver, possibility of this gigantic terminal, but this is terminus, and it's more or less down the mouth of the river. But this is our coastline, salt water. There are types of oysters here that only are in this particular area. A lot more is going on. There's a lot of fishing. This is an ocean site. It's like on the beach. It's on an estuary. It is on the coast of North America. It's the only one, and for some reason they have their beady little eyes on it. They don't seem to understand. This cannot and will not happen, and yet they are forging ahead. And foraging has a couple different meanings at the very least. Jody, so what's happening now? Why is this hearing so important?
Well, this hearing is about legislative text changes to the Coos County Zoning and Land Development Ordinance. And for the last 10 years, basically, we've been trying to get the ordinance updated to be in line with the state's statewide planning goals. In particular, Statewide Planning Goal 7, which prohibits the siting of hazardous facilities in a natural hazard zone. And, of course, the language that has been proposed does not include hazardous facilities as something that's prohibited in a tsunami zone. So we need to make the commissioners adopt the language that is in the Statewide Planning Goal. And if that was the case, it would either stop or, you know, Jordan Cove would not be able to build their facility, because where they want to build it is in a tsunami inundation zone on a sand spit. It's absolutely,
and they've just had some kind of practice thing, haven't they? Fairly recently, and as an ongoing effort to tell people what tsunamis are. This is something that people on the coast are familiar with, the tsunami. What are the practice things, where the drills, so that everybody knows what to do, and yet they're going ahead. The other thing I want to ask you about this hearing.
It's been changed, and now it will be held August 16th at 3:30 p.m. and that will be at the Owen Building at 201 North Adams in Coquille. This will be before the Coos County Board of Commissioners, and basically concerns these text legislative amendments to the Coos County Ordinance.
So, in other words, a corporation is saying, we don't like your laws, please change them for our convenience. Is that correct?
Well, what has happened is the state's law has been there all along, but Coos County has not updated their code to incorporate that language. They've updated it to incorporate all this other language that actually most of these updates, it's not the updates that are being proposed here, they will benefit the project instead of be what they should be, which is be in line with the statewide planning goals, which says basically what the goal says is that it prohibits the siting of essential facilities, major structures, hazardous facilities, and special occupancy structures where the risk to the public safety cannot be mitigated. So basically, that's what we're asking. Adopt the language as a statewide planning goal has it for planning. And they have not done that. And we've tried multiple times to bring this issue up, and it always gets ignored. But they're in the process of now, finally, adopting maps into the planning ordinance that shows where the tsunami inundation zones are. It's been a long road just to get that process proper.
It just seems like that you should, that you or anyone else should not have to do that. There are laws on the books that do address these problem areas, and I find this curiouser and curiouser, and talked about it again and again, the fact that a corporation could come in and change laws to accommodate its own goals. This yes. is the complete and utter capitulation of our so-called democratic system, that it can be bent any time to the will of corporate interests.
Yes, as long as they have money. In fact, we were told that at the last hearing that we could come in with $3,500 and go through a text amendment change if we wanted to, and that, you know, to bring it to bring this issue once again. I don't feel I should have to do that when the state laws and
it's already there.
Rules are very clear. I shouldn't have to pay $3,500 to have the county update the gold. Their ordinance to be in line with the state.
See, this is the issue. This is why Jordan Cove is so terribly important, people. One is the hazard to our coast is just incomprehensible, but it's also the hazard to democracy. I want to thank you for that, Jody. We're out of time for today, but we're going to bring updates on this and reminders about that. August, I believe you said August 16th. We'll put up information. You can always get information at KB, where we are all about information. But by all means, keep an ear to this one. It's very important. This is, if you're worried about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this is it. It's already operational, and it's in Coos Bay. It's at Jordan Cove right now. Thanks for that, Jody. We're going to go now. We're going to speak with a self-described frontliner, Bill Wilson. He's with Hank Papa Lakota. We're trying to reach him right now. And we'll see how that turns out. Yet this is yet another instance of laws subverted in the interests of a corporation, this time in the Dakotas, a part of this country, which, of course, we know it now. Funny how we say that Americans learn geography through war, and we also learn geography through corporate interests. When the corporation becomes fascinated with Bakken oil, we suddenly think about the Dakotas. Otherwise, it would be another area that is desolate and difficult to live in. We want to talk about that with Bill a little bit. It's come up now, and I wonder, other than First Nations members, how many people have taken note of the fact that the United States Fish and Wildlife Service has revoked its approval. This happened a while back, a month or so ago, of a construction permit for the Dakota Access Pipeline. Dakota Access Pipeline. Make note of that one. This goes through the Big Sioux River Wildlife Management Area, and that's in northwest Iowa. The permit, it's called the Sovereign Lands Construction Permit, was revoked because a significant Native American archaeological site was discovered along the proposed pipeline path. Due to this permit revocation, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources has ordered that Dakota Access stop all construction work for its Bakken oil pipeline until it receives a green light from the state archaeologists and the fish and wildlife people. The Dakota Access project is about 1,200 miles a long pipeline full of Bakken oil that has been proposed to carry up to 450,000 barrels a day. Okay, fine. So take that information and factor in the proposed terminal off Vancouver. Doesn't this sound like the fix is in? I mean, doesn't that seem a little bit too convenient for the corporate interests? None of these are entirely done actions, but they're done deals. So taking that into consideration, there is something. There are treaties. There is tribal law. The path of the pipeline goes through First Nations or Indigenous peoples' grave sites, some other very spiritual sites. It's 1,200 miles long. It goes through First Nations land. Of course it does. And there are treaties that protect that land. And there are a few people who are standing up and who have a backbone, and they represent their tribes, and they've said a loud and unequivocal no to the pipeline, as have Indigenous people in our part of the world in Cascadia when it comes to the terminal in Vancouver. That said, we will continue to try to speak to Bill Wilson, a self-described frontliner. And still, this convention winds on. The latest one is an out-and-out plagiarized speech that Melania gave, of all people, too, that she lifted from. It seems that we really aren't in Kansas anymore. Or maybe we are. Maybe it's all nothing but Kansas, as far as the eye can see. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, July 19, 2016. Engineering for us today, Janet Anderson. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOA of News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And you're listening.